Here's play action. Back to throw. Gabbert turns and lofts this one for Mercedes Lewis. He got it. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Welcome to the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. Join Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey and the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, for the latest news and information on your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Straight from the head coach, straight from the head coach.
The Mike Mularkey Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, American Express, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome into the Mike Mularkey Show. A Monday evening, rainy, the first day of October. Welcome to the 10th month of the year. We're certainly glad you're with us here this evening. And Brian Sexton, along with head coach Mike Mularkey, you can join us at Jags Voice, at Twitter, and of course, 355-NFL1 for the phone number. Let's start, before we talk about the game, let's just start with a thought. Coaching colleague of yours, Chuck Pagano, a guy I'm sure you know, got the word over the weekend that he had been diagnosed with leukemia. And that is a dose of reality for a lot of people.
It sure is. Chuck's a friend of mine. It's a very tight group, that they're the NFL coaching group, especially new head coaches. We spent more time together at the owners' meeting. So I spent some time with Chuck, and we had a good talk, and we were up there to play him. But it is a reality check. It is real life, situation that I try to even share that with a team that was, you know, really – feeling down and depressed about the loss yesterday, but really I wanted to let them know that, you know, there's send their prayers to the Pagano family up there.
Absolutely, and all our best and prayers go out to the Pagano family and the Colts organization as they work through this one. By the way, tonight, Jeff Loggeman, Derek Cox, Jaguars All Access. That's 7 o'clock on CBS 47. All right, Coach, yesterday obviously was a frustrating day for you as you tried to look at the tape today and put some pieces in place. What was your general thought? Was it as bad as it seemed at the time, or was it not quite so bad and it just felt that way?
Well, it was frustrating. We all want to know what would have happened, the what-ifs, if we make some of those plays early in the game. You know, it may be a different outcome if we can make some of those plays. The interception early with Kyle Bosworth puts us down there in the literally inside around the 12, 13-yard line, and get points off of turnover is big. But, you know, and then we had a chance with Rasheen, and we're just not making the plays, and I'd like to know what would happen if we do. And it hasn't been just this game. It's been four games. We've had numerous opportunities to make some plays, not just defensively, but all three phases. And I think it's a different storyline if we make some of those plays, and we'll never know because we didn't.
You know, people are looking for an explanation. Well, why not make the plays? Well, I don't think you can say it's a lack of talent. I mean, because Bosworth had the ball and Rasheen had the ball.
I mean, they're in very good coverage. I mean, it's they end up Rasheen's being a pass broken up, and now we have an interception fumble. But you can just see the body language even of some of our guys right around that time, like the depressed that we, we fail to come through again. And it does suck the wind out of you a little bit. But, you know, just they're in the right spots. I told them this morning, when those things start happening our way, they're gonna come in bunches. And just keep doing your job. Be where you're supposed to be. The ball will come to you. And when it does, we got to make those plays. As you see, other teams are doing it all the time.
Right.
And, I even reverted back to some of the, you know, the ball's not bouncing our way. We've had a couple punts by Brian, in the last few weeks that have been dropped by the returners, and they just bounce straight out of bounds. You know, it's going to happen, and I don't want our guys to get frustrated, but we'd certainly like to know if we make some plays like that, you know, does it change the coaching mentality of those guys on the other side? Do they make different decisions if you get up on them early because you've turned the ball over? I mean, it's just you like to know, but we haven't found that out yet. And but we're gonna keep working, like I know these guys will.
You know, and Paul Posluszny probably had the best answer today in the locker room. He told John Osher on Jaguars.com that I wish I had a great answer for you, but there's nothing I can say that's new. It really is the truth that we all have to be better at what we do, and we have to be better during the week as well as on Sunday afternoons.
That's right. And I have said it numerous times about our practices. We have had very good weeks of practice. It just needs to carry over into the game. And I think if we do that, if we can just carry over and be consistent, we really haven't put a game together where all three phases have complemented each other and worked off of each other. And maybe that's a work in progress. We're trying to do that. I know the guys are out there. Certainly it is not an effort thing. It's just a matter of when we get opportunities, we got to take advantage of them.
All right, we have plenty to talk about this evening with the head coach of the Jaguars. We're glad you're with us. At Jags Voice is how you connect via Twitter. 800-355-NFL1 is how you get us on the phones. And you know, folks, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. And we're back with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Coach's Show. I'm Brian Sexton along with head coach Mike Mularkey, and you are certainly welcome to join us. And we have our first Twitter thought, coach. And it's from Dave Dowling. He wants to know if you look at the tape and decide that there are changes that need to be made on either offense or defensive line.
Well, we're going to we've had some injuries, obviously, on both sides.
We've had lots of changes this first month.
We really have. We got Austin Lane back. He was still limited. We didn't play him more than – we played him 12 snaps. You know, he's a guy that is going to help us up front. But, you know, we had George Selvey is still out. We just got our two linemen back. And I'm not going to say they're 100%, but we felt like they had a good week of practice. They could go in there. And we knew going in that that defensive line was a you know, one of their strengths of their defenses. So we're gonna go back to work this week with those guys. And again, we made a change at halftime yesterday from Eben to Mike Brewster because we just felt like Eben was, whether it was the injury or not, but not being effective. We made a change. The players saw that we're trying to do whatever we can to put us in a better position. And if that's the case, you know, that's every week. That's any time we feel like we need to make a change, we'll do that, and it's just for the better sake of our football team.
Well, I think as a larger issue, Coach, when you look at it, I mean, a season can be like a hurricane. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of winds and things whipping around on the outside, but in the eye of it, that's your locker room. You got to keep calm. I mean,
our guys are doing that. That's the best thing. You know, I told them, you know, it's a good thing we don't stop games after the first quarter. And this is basically what we're in, the first quarter of the season. Right. We have a lot of football to go. We have more quarters that we have to win. You know, we've dug ourselves a little bit of a ditch here that we've got to win some of these quarters to make up for what's taking place this first 4 weeks. And we have the guys in the locker room to do that.
I was just about to ask you. I think when a lot of people look and an offensive line doesn't have a good day like it didn't yesterday, they say, well, it can't play. That's not a very good offensive line. And you would say, I would imagine, that they can play much better.
Well, they can, and they will. Yesterday was probably the biggest letdown of technique and fundamentals that we've had. And I think those guys will take it personal. I think they will, and respond to our demands and really the demands that they put on themselves.
You've been around this game a long time. When you have a breakdown of technique and fundamentals like that, is there something that causes it? Were they doing something on the other side of the ball that guys just lost their composure or their thought process and just lost their technique as well?
Well, some of that does go with that. You got some guys over there that were pretty darn good, especially the interior tackles, and we knew that.
Pico and Atkins.
Yes, they've got multiple sacks early in the season. That's not the typical norm in the NFL to have interior guys leading your team with sacks. And you don't have the help inside like you do outside, where we can have tackle or tight ends and backs helping on the edges. It's different inside. And so you're sitting there going, I have one-on-one. I'm basically on an island. And, you know, sometimes you overthink what do I have to do to make up maybe for a deficiency somewhere or another, you know, maybe my ankle or my injury. And just instead of just trusting the things that you've worked on from OTAs and training camp all the way through, just trust your techniques and let them work for you.
Which brings us to the quarterback. If the technique broke down up front, did he break down a little bit because there was pressure in his face? Did he have some technique flaws yesterday? Well, pass or two sailed on him.
Yeah, I'd say yes. You know, we had a couple throws that we were trying to hit down the field, but he really did not have the ability to step up and step into the throws. So you saw a couple throws down to Greg Jones on plays that we were trying to hit big ones down to Cecil and to Justin Blackmon, and we just could not step into it because of that pocket.
When you look at the rhythm of a passing attack, I mean, that group that they have in Cincinnati worked all year together last year, and now they come in, same offensive system, same offensive coordinator, most of the same guys, they've got a rhythm going. How long does it take to develop that kind of rhythm? I mean, should we expect to see that by the end of October? Does it take a season in order, or more than a season, in order to get that sort of, you know, functioning rhythm, Coach, that we hear so much about?
I don't know if there's an exact time frame. You'd like just to see improvements each week. And, you know, we that was one of our musts going into this game was our, you know, we have to execute the passing game. And that's really everybody. That's the protections. That's the route running. That's, you know, the reads by Blaine. That's the backs being where they're supposed to be. Those are things that all go into one play, that go into the success of the play. And we just like to see, you know, gradual, you know, improvement as we go through the season. I think we will. I mean, we haven't. I mean, that's been the frustrating thing. It's been one area or another that we just have failed to get this passing game going, but we're addressing it as much as we can.
Terry has a thought on Rasheen Mathis, and she wondered about your thoughts on his performance yesterday and if leaving him over there on the island by himself was a little bit much.
Well, there's a number of times we did have coverage to help him over the top. You can't play that every time. You know, there's also negatives to some of the coverages when you're trying to help out the corners. You know, it was just inevitable that we're going to get a matchup, and you know that's a good player. That's a great player.
He's excellent.
And not just the player, but some of the throws that were made were very difficult throws to defend, especially the back shoulder throw to him over there on the sideline. I'm not sure anybody in the league could have defended that. But you know, we helped out as much as possible. But in order to get pressure, at times you get singled up out there, and you know, that was the unfortunate thing. They made some great plays. Give them credit.
Here's another one from a very astute fan, Rob. He said, it seemed like in the game in Minnesota, your offense got to the line of scrimmage. Blaine had, you know, 12, 14, 15 seconds. He said he didn't see that yesterday. Was there a reason why he was getting to the line of scrimmage and the play clock was getting so low?
Not purposely. There's sometimes we will go into a game, especially with an offense such as Cincinnati's, high.
Slow things down a bit.
Yeah, to slow it down, keep them off the field, less time that they have a chance to have the ball. And I can tell you that was not the plan yesterday. It was we had preached about tempo, getting in and out of the huddle. Excuse me. But that was very good. That's very, they saw the same thing we saw, just the tempo.
Sure. Coach, we'll take Roy from the West Side and then our second break of the evening. Roy, we welcome you to the Mike Mularkey Show. You're on with the head coach. Good evening.
How's it going?
Hey, Roy.
I have to say, I grew up a Dolphin fan, but I've been a Jaguar fan since they come to town. But, you know, every year it seems to be a little bit more embarrassing for us. And, you said tonight that y'all recognize that y'all have a problem with the fundamentals. That's been the problem with this team for the last several years. I mean, they can't tackle. They can't catch. They never do screens. They got nobody that can pressure the quarterback. I mean, when are we going to stop kidding ourselves?
Well, I appreciate the support. I think, you know, the one thing you mentioned was tackling. I think that's one thing we have improved on defensively, and I said that this morning. Our tackling has gotten better. You know, it's a work in progress right now. These guys are well aware of it. It's not something we have to remind them. They see it on film. The positive about this game is there are some good things that nobody will ever talk about, and one of them was the tackling was better. But, no, we're going to work them again when we get back to work on Wednesday.
Let's talk about some of those things when we come back from the break.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
This is the Mike Mularkey Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio. Well, if you want to see the Jaguars at the best price possible, the Coin Toss ticket promotion offers fans the ability to purchase up to four tickets, possibly single seats or not assortments, for only $20 each. There are no guarantees of location or whether tickets will be singles, paired, or even near each other. It's all a toss of the coin. For more information on Coin Toss tickets, call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000. All right, I mean, the complaining can go on and on and on, Coach, and that's what, you know, fans do when they're unhappy. So let's hear from you, and they probably need to hear it too. Some of the things you saw on tape on which you can build going into the Bears week.
Well, defensively, I thought there was a lot of good things. The already mentioned the tackling. You know, we had two turnovers. Stopped them on the goal line for a big stop.
It was huge.
And got that fumble. When we threw the interception, they went in there and got a three and out. You know, we had 5 3 and outs. We did some good things, and our third downs were very good. You know, the negative was we had two penalties. You know, there that continued drives for those guys, which kill you. You know, offensively, I thought some of the situational things we've done. You know, our goal line has been good, scoring on the goal line with that throw to Mercedes, which was a great throw by Blaine. Great drive to get us down there, 13 play drive. We had a couple of drives in that game that ate up the clock, and really our guys executed well in that. Obviously, our third downs aren't good enough. We had no penalties on offense, which is a big thing.
That is huge.
And then, you know, the turnover was that was at a bad time. And like I said, our defense responded to that. But there are little bits and pieces that are good, special teams wise. To see Scobie finally, you know, bombing them through the end zone like that against dangerous returners was good for our kickoff team. We talked about how important it was not to let them return it, because he would. He had his heels on the end line. That was good. Our punt coverage was good, because we did not have the average that we have with Brian Anger,
right?
Like we have in the last couple of weeks. So we had some good coverage there. But the fake obviously was a huge play. That
you said you thought maybe during the week you'd see that from them.
Well, I just, you know, they've run a number of them. The coordinator's been there for basically 10 years, and they ran one last week. They ran a fake field goal and it got stuffed. But I just thought, you know, I just had a gut that may happen. And I take responsibility. Anything like that happens, that's starts with me. And I got to do a better job of making sure we got the right people on the field if I feel like they're going to do that.
You know, there were two situations in the game where the momentum just it stalled on you. One was when Bosworth picked that ball off. You're thinking, wow, here you go. And then when he fumbles that back, lost control of the ball, that kind of gave them a little bit of a lift. And then that fake punt, you could just see all of a sudden, because you pitched two straight three and outs at them.
Right.
And that's a powerful offense, and you're thinking, okay.
Right, we'd just gone up 7-3, and then we went back and forth on a drive, and then got a three and out on them, and thought, hey, we're going to have good field position. Very happy where our defense was playing. Like I said, 5-3 and outs against that offense is pretty
remarkable.
Pretty remarkable. And that just you could tell it just deflates. It's not just our team, the stadium, everybody. It wasn't just getting the first; it was a 48-yard run that got them down there and to score off of it. So those are things we, you know, obviously cannot have happen to us.
You know, a lot has been made obviously because no sacks of Dalton yesterday. There was one important pressure from Andre Branch, and early on, I got the sense he pushed Andre Smith, who's 360. Back into the quarterback like it was nothing at all, and I thought, okay, that kid may have something.
Yeah.
We didn't see it again the rest of the day, though, did we?
No, we didn't, but it was, you know, we saw it early. It caused an interception. It kind of shows if we can put pressure on the quarterback, and really what's happening with us at times is, you know, we're getting some push in our pocket. It just shows, you know, it puts the quarterback under duress, and he made an errant throw, and we got an interception because of it.
Yeah, he had to step and turn his body a little bit and throw it out to Presley, and that's when Bosworth attacked.
Right.
And came up with it. How has he improved from week one, if he has improved, and where does he need to get better, Coach, to bring you what you saw from him, that pass rush in August?
I think some of it is in the run game. You know, we need to set an edge with our two ends, and what I mean by that is basically contain the offense within the tackle box and not let people get outside or not even get pushed, you know, to where the pocket gets or the box gets expanded in the run game. And I know he's working at it. That's something for a young defensive end that's, you know, especially a rookie to come in here and you got these big tackles, these big powerful tackles that you've got to not let them push you around. And I think he's improved there. I think he's got, you know, a little ways to go. But other things, the discipline, making sure you're keeping contained on some of these rushes. You know, you see something, you poke your head in there, and all of a sudden, before you know it, the quarterback breaks contained and goes out and make a play. Just little things like that with the experience, he'll get better at.
All right, you're listening to the Mike Mularkey Show. And, folks, you know at Sonny's, you get a huge helping of baby back ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, all for only $12.99. All you can eat, just $4 more. Sonny's is the first name in barbecue in Florida. We'll take a break here at the bottom of the hour and return 30 more minutes with head coach Mike Mularkey here on the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show here on a Monday. Jaguars make their way to the practice field on Wednesday to get ready for the Chicago Bears. They, by the way, are on Monday Night Football tonight in Dallas. So they go Monday night on the road and then come down here. And I hope it's 100 degrees on Sunday. That would be a big advantage.
Yeah, that'll be a good test. That'll be a good game tonight. Two physical teams matching up. And
do you watch it? I mean, will you guys have that on over your coaching suite watching that, or is it tough
to
scout?
No, I mean we'll probably catch the second half when we get home.
Okay,
and we'll get the film right away, and we'll be in here bright and early and watch it, you know, on tape.
You say right away. I mean, it's delivered overnight, right? I mean,
yes.
That stuff is in the digital age, that's almost automatic.
Yeah, it's all digital, and it's amazing what it's really amazing what we have. We have every game, you know, obviously that's played every week, but we have them for 4 years, and that includes all colleges. Right. So, I mean, we can pick a any game and have it at our hands just that
instantaneously.
Quick. Yes.
I imagine that you've already seen some of the Bears because the Bears and Colts played on opening day.
Right.
So you've already kind of got a sense of what they do.
Right. When I was with Atlanta for, I think it was 2 years ago, 2010, we played up in there, and right. We opened up with them. So it's a good football team. They've been together. Again, Lovey's been there a long time.
You bet.
Same staff, same basically offense, and for sure same defense. That's pretty stout there with Urlacher standing there in the middle and, you know, Got some guys up front again we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, they sure do. Let's talk real quick about Jay Cutler. Here's a guy with a big arm now. We've not seen him in these parts. We went to Denver in 07 and 08 when he was still with the Broncos. We haven't seen him then. And Jeff Loggeman said he thought that was one of the best arms he had ever seen.
He does. He has a very good arm. Very competitive guy. You know, just hates making mistakes, hates losing, he is such a competitive player, and you can see it in his play. But he's got a very strong arm. He can make all the throws, believes he can make all the throws, and he'll try to stick them in some tight places. And, again, we'll be around some of those tight places. And
get the ball.
We'll have some opportunities if we're doing our jobs.
The other thing they have is a big, tall receiver. I mean, I remember the first time I saw Brandon Marshall sitting on the sideline. I thought, when did they start growing receivers that big or tight ends that skinny? I couldn't quite decide. He's so big. Same sort of player as A.J. Green. He looks the part, or do they play a different game?
A little different. I think Brandon can play a little more inside. You know, he can play a few different spots. Probably more active on third down. One thing about AJ Green, you don't see him a lot on third downs being the main target. If you watch most,
he didn't have a third down catch coming into the game on Sunday.
Right. I mean, it's not his thing. It's and especially when you're play outside receiver, it's not a big third down. Position like it is be inside, and Brandon Marshall can move around, and they'll move him around to see if they can get a matchup that they like.
Yeah, he is, though, a big, tall, strong guy.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he really is. And Matt Forte, I don't know whether he's playing this evening or not, but he's a different kind of running back. I mean, I don't know how to describe him to most people, but he is a guy that can do a lot of different things.
He is a threat, like you said, a lot of ways. Really, they do a good job with him in the passing game. He is as good a back out of the backfield as anybody catching the ball.
You know, now that you say that, I think if I was going to say Rashad Jennings was in the mold of anyone, I say he's kind of a Matt Forte
very
kind
similar.
Of player.
Yeah, I'd say very similar to that
taller
style.
Guy with really good hands.
Right, slashing type runner, you know, looks for that little crease and tries to bang it up in there. But, again, his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield is what they like.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a guy that can turn and burn and get up the field in a hurry. Defensive side of the ball, you mentioned some of the big guys up front. A guy that maybe people have seen and they'll see tonight, Israel Adonijay. He was been a backup up there, and all of a sudden he's moved in the last couple of years into the forefront as a really dominant player.
Right. You know, their front is very stout, and they got backers with Briggs, again, who's been really not talked about a lot because of the success Urlacher. But they got a very good linebacker core that plays off the front very well. And, you know, it'll be a good matchup for us. We'll have to, you know, help our guys out as much as we can.
Does Lovey still run the same Tampa 2 that a lot of Tony's guys took from Tampa Bay as they spread out around the league?
Not like you think. They still play the coverage, but it's not the dominant coverage. But it is certain downs and distances you will see that coverage, but not like you used to see with Tony Dungy.
All right, Chicago Bears Sunday. It's a 4:05 kickoff, and again, you can see them tonight on Monday Night Football. Coach, a thought from Brian, of all people. He wonders if it seems that even when sending four or more, the Jags still get limited pressure. Is speed an issue? Do you think that guys are having trouble getting there because they don't have the speed?
Well, some of, you know, there's a number of reasons. One is the time throws, the things that are coming out of quarterback's hands, the three-step, the five-step. Those throws to A.J. Green are five-step, hitch, and throw.
Right.
There's not a big read. It's just let her go. And
so you've got to be like 3.5 in the 40 to get there.
Well, unless you have a free runner, you know, somebody misses a block or somebody wins right away, it's rare that you can beat a guy doing the techniques on a pass right off the edge if that quarterback gets rid of it on time.
Right.
And when we're trying to do different things to create pressure, and I think Mel's doing whatever he can to try to find a mismatch. The one thing we talked about we can do better is some of our line games. They're not as effective as they need to be compared to other teams against us. So we're seeing little things that we got to get better at, and hopefully create more pressure, because we know trust me, that we need to get pressure on the quarterback.
Well, and you know, Knighton and Alualu are two guys, kind of like Pico and Geno Atkins, you know, that work well off of one another. And Knighton missed a lot of time, obviously, with the eye injury this year, and Tyson was brought along slowly with the knee. I mean, could we see them start to get a rhythm going here?
I would think so. Yeah, the more they're playing. Again, you're right. Those two guys, Terrence really not here the whole offseason. No. Here, but not here.
Not able to participate.
Not be able to participate. And then Tyson, with recovering from the knee, really didn't work until we got midway through training camp. So, yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, I think the more they're together, and I think Branch, you know, being a young player coming into the mix, I think he'll start to play off these guys as well. And I think it should get better the more time we're together.
All right, we need to take a break. We will return. More to come with the head coach when we return on Jaguars Radio. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck, and it fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. They're a proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hey, Coach, when we talk about your defense, and we spent some time talking about Rasheen over on one side, Derek is working his way back into the lineup. He's going to be the guest tonight on Jaguars All Access. How did he play yesterday?
Well, it was good to have him back for the entire game. You know, I just think he has a little bit of trust he's trying to put in himself that he's healthy, and I thought he played well. I think, you know, especially when we got some press coverage, he's a tough guy. He's big, physical corner, and tough to get off of. And you saw him make some plays up there in tight coverage.
And he missed 10 games last year, and he missed the first couple of games this year, and you're looking at a guy that just really needs time on task, doesn't he?
Definitely needs time on task. And, you know, he had an opportunity to grab one there as well. We had three opportunities for picks yesterday, and that was another one we would have liked to have had.
Finding a way to get that one done.
We got to get him. And I think things will roll when that happens.
Did the hockey stick make a difference? We all saw the story about that. Well, I mean, all of a sudden now, I mean, you got a couple.
Yeah,
the hockey stick had to have something.
Yeah, I mean, we go in, you know, wanting two turnovers, minimum of two turnovers every game. Obviously, the stats are staggering about the turnover battle of winning and losing games, and ours is evident. Whether we've tied it or lost it, we've lost the games. The one we won the game.
Right.
That's pretty much week in and week out in the NFL. It's rare that doesn't have an occurrence that. You know, somebody has more turnovers and wins. That's not the norm.
So. You know, the hockey stick is fun, but it does point out a bigger deal, and that is that as a coach, you're always looking, and not just within the football world, you're always looking for something.
Yeah, you are.
Give you an edge. It never stops.
Right. No, and that's, you know, I think Mel does a great job with the defense of the scheme, presenting it the way he does. I think that staff, obviously, that has been together, does a great job with it, and very demanding of the guys, and you see it. You see the effort. You see them busting their tail. Even the rush. We haven't got a sack, but you see these guys. And Amincy's a great example. He is all out every play,
right?
Every game. I mean, there's nothing less.
You know, there were a couple plays yesterday where you could see he was so close. I mean, because his effort. Because it was almost as if they thought the play was over, he was going to quit.
No,
he will not.
No, he's amazing. He does that in practice too. He walks off exhausted, whatever it is. He's just a high motor guy, and that's the kind of guys you want on your football team.
What does it mean to him if you've got Austin Lane, who can play 12, 15, 18 snaps? How much does it matter to a guy like that to get a breather every once in a while?
Oh, it's important, especially when you play at the level that he plays. You know, for him to play last year, he played, you know, close to 1,100 snaps. I don't know if I've been around a defensive end in the teams that I've been with that have played that many snaps and play with that kind of intensity. So if we can minimize.
Not run him down
and have him for a full year at the level he plays, that'll be important.
All right, let's step aside for our next break. We are in the midst of getting ready for the Bears game on Sunday. We'll return with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach, and we've got a couple of more minutes here. you'd like to chime in with a thought on the Jaguars, either from yesterday's game or looking forward to the Bears on Sunday. Young quarterback in Blaine. We keep saying that over and over, but I want to remind people that that is exactly what he is. The Bears have a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball and obviously a lot of playmakers. Is this as confusing or at least potentially confusing as he has seen so far this year defense?
They do some things that are that will stress us a little bit, you know, try to, with right. Alignments and people different places than the norm. You know, as long as we follow our rules, and there's rules for all of our protections and our run game, as long as we follow our rules, we'll be fine. And we got to block them up. You know, they'll have a Julius Peppers out there on the edge. I forgot
all about Julius, yeah.
Yeah, he's out there.
Whoops. Cam Bradfield will have a nice challenge.
Yeah, and those are the things we're going to have to help some of our guys. And that's just the way it is. And that's how, you know, we'll be able to protect. I think Cam is getting better. Just like Blaine, I think Blaine is ascending as we go. I think other guys around him will help him ascend. I think Cam's a young player. We got some young guys. I think he's going to get better.
How did he play yesterday? First game back since he injured the foot in Minnesota?
I thought he played better in the second half. Okay. You know, he hasn't played in 2.5 games. And so, he did practice this last week, but he came, you know, literally came off a pretty good injury and started practicing right on it. So I thought he played better as he went along.
Sunday will be his fifth career start. Fifth from Grand Valley State.
Right.
Talented guy. How does he get ready mentally to face Julius Peppers? Is that the film room? I mean, is that putting every little piece of information he can? Or how do you tell a young player to get ready to play one of the best pass rushers in the game?
That's film work. That's, you know, we break them down as a scouting report. We have advanced scouting. We have guys that are at the game tonight that will give them every little detail. But really, I think it comes down to just sitting there by yourself in a film room and watching a lot of football, a lot of plays, a lot of things that they do. You know, I always say it's so important that you know the answer before the question even comes up. I mean, it's just
a good one, right?
So you can adjust. You already know what's coming before it comes, give you an advantage. And I think the more time you spend watching these rushers, these pass rushers, they have favorite things they like and things that have worked for them. And if you can get a beat on it's coming, it certainly gives you an advantage.
So it's that extra mile that you have to go that week.
It's the things, I say this all the time, it's the things when nobody's watching you or asking you to do or demanding you to do or instructing you to do. It's those things when nobody's around that you do on your own that will give you the edge on Sundays. And that's all players. That's not Cam. That's all players.
Well, I'm sure that Cam has an advantage in looking across on the other side and seeing how Eugene Monroe prepared for opening day for Jared Allen.
Right.
That's got to give him at least a roadmap.
And you know, Eugene has played well. I mean, he's played at a high level. You know, he gave up a pressure yesterday, but he has played pretty well for us these first four games. And he's always facing somebody that you know, is the strength of the defensive line. So
generally, but in this case, it's Peppers is going to come to the other side, right?
Well, Peppers will be left as well. May move him just to see if the matchups, just to test things. So we'll see where he's going to be. They'll probably both get a chance to face him. And he's a good player.
Game wrecker still?
Game wrecker, absolutely game wrecker. Yes.
I forget that play in Carolina where he came through and stuck his paw out and intercepted it, and that's when I realized, yeah, he could play power forward too.
Oh, he does a lot of things. I mean, I've seen him chase running backs down after long runs. You know, he's just it's so athletic for his size and powerful. Great leverage for a big man.
All right, should be fun to watch that matchup, and of course you can see it tonight on Monday Night Football. Let's go ahead, get our final break out of the way, and we'll come back up and wrap things up with the head coach of the Jaguars here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Couple minutes left. As you look and get ready for the Bears, and obviously you'll start that game planning process this, if you've already haven't started it, but when do you start that? Is that Monday night or Tuesday?
I actually looked a little bit yesterday.
Okay.
Just to get it, just because of the time demand of today and tomorrow. Just don't want to get a jump start. So I've been looking at them really today from about 2 o'clock until the show started. And I look at games. I kind of get a feel for their personnel game-wise. And then I'll have some thoughts, and I'll look back. I'll even look back at what we did in 2010, what was successful, just to kind of get an idea of maybe how to attack or where we had an edge. And, you know, one of the things we did poorly back then, which in that game, and we opened up with them in 2010, was our third downs. And that's one thing we've got to get better at. And the one thing, you know, by having pads on this Wednesday, we'll have some third down work, and that's really important to do it in pads. And that's protections, that's picking up the blitz, which we'll get blitzed by these guys. And we got to do it still live with pads on, still in October. We're still working on the physical part of things, but we got to be better on third down offensively.
Coach, how do you ration your padded practices, or is it set when you can use them and when you can't? I know you've got 14 during the season.
You have 14, 11 in the first 11 weeks. And then you can have – 1 week can have two padded practice. We did that already, okay. leading in to the Minnesota game. So we had one on Monday and we had one on Wednesday. And then, you know, we took them off one week, which, I lost an opportunity, but I just felt like we were so beat up. The health was not good on our football team, and I just thought that would be a negative to go out there and pound each other. I wanted us to be fresh for the game. And so we got to be – we want to be smart, especially with the number of injuries that we've had with our players. But, you know, you still have to learn to block and tackle and all the things when the pads are on.
Right.
And the pad level, it naturally rises when the pads are not on.
You know, going into yesterday's game, Blaine had a quarterback rating, I think it was sixth best in the league in the fourth quarter, 122.6. And on third down, it was, I think, 30th. It was down in the 54-something range. So when you talk about working on third down, I would imagine it's the passing game.
Definitely. It's definitely the passing game. And we've got to get better. I mean, we were good up until a point there, the Texans game, when we went, you know, 0-for. And like I said, I've never been.
You were 50% after week one.
Yeah, we were not. We were that's just not us. We're a good third down team. For some reason, we have not been effective these last couple weeks, and we need to get back to that. I mean, in the best thing that we – or not the best thing, but the one thing we have to work on is first and second down. That makes you a good third down team. That drive we had yesterday for the touchdown, we had no third downs.
Right.
I mean, we made first downs on first down, and that's what you want to do. But if you're in third downs, there's percentages that you're making by how far you have to go, and we've been in a lot of third and longs, and some of that is because of sacks. You know, obviously there were no penalties yesterday that put us back, but we've had those situations too.
Sure.
So third and long is extremely difficult to overcome, and you know, we don't want to be in those situations. But when we're trying to get into third and makeables, and when we do, we got to make those.
How about red zone? Are you happy with where your red zone is headed, or is that still?
No, we're never that. You want to score touchdowns down there? That's not satisfied unless we have touchdowns. I mean, we want to score points. That's obviously the objective every time we get the football. That's our goal. I mean,
right.
We don't have a goal board. Our goal board is to score every time we touch it. And now we've got to put points on the board, especially when we have long drives like we've had that stall out, and you end up with a field goal. I mean, that's a little. It takes a little of your, you know, your enthusiasm out
sure.
of it when you have to kick a field goal. Well,
especially that drive yesterday when, you know, you take the ball away from them, get
right.
into the 20 and go down the field, you're thinking, now this could be a real swing of momentum.
Correct. So, right.
Well, here's to a good week of practice, Coach, getting ready for the Bears. And
we'll be ready.
Best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
That's the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Jaguars Radio.